The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He was, is, and always shall be.
So today, as I hope that you heard, I think there was a problem with the microphone, so you may not have heard all the gospel, but we commemorate today St. John the theologian, the evangelist who wrote one of the gospels, theologian because of how the church understood and received the message of his gospel, the beloved disciple, as we hear in the gospel, the writer and author of three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and of course also of the book of Revelation that he wrote when he was in exile on the island of Patmos. And we commemorate St. John the theologian two times during the year, May 8th on his birth, and then September 26th on his falling asleep, or you may have heard the word translation, but it's on his passing, on his death. And we do so because of the contribution that the Holy Spirit through John the theologian gave us the church. And I hope that they're very short, the epistles of John especially, that you take some time, if you haven't already, to read through those. Because the essence of the gospel, in fact, we just said that a few weeks ago when we quoted from John his gospel 3:16, for God so loved the world, the essence of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and really the manner in which we as followers of Christ and how we should treat each other is expressed so beautifully in the epistles of St. John. And I'm going to spend some time reading from them, the one that was read today and last night. I mentioned this in Vespers, the Vespers that we celebrated last evening. Whenever there's a feast day of the Lord, or particularly of the Theotokos, and we have readings, they're usually from the Old Testament, especially of the Theotokos, but they're usually from the Old Testament. But last night we had three readings, and they were from the epistles of St. John. And part of one is repeated in today's epistle. So let me read through those, because the question that we may have, and I hear this quite a bit, especially today, as we, and in this country, but we in the church experience what we understand or what we may receive or view as tribulation. Times of tribulation, times of sickness, times of fear, times of death. How do we know God? How do we know his purpose for us? How do we know why these things happen to the world, to our community, to us, to our families? We have questions in life, and I'm sure that's not just today or in today's times, that's throughout our life and throughout periods of time in our life. We have these questions, however young or old we are, wherever we are in life. I believe that St. John, in his epistles especially, but certainly in his gospel, gives us some direction in these. Maybe not so much exact prescriptions that we may be looking for, because we tend to be, as humans, wanting to have something exact. This is this and that is that. That's not the way it works in life. We don't have these exact answers to tell us to walk this way or walk that way or go this way or go that way or watch out for this or watch out for that. Diakrisis, as we say in Greek, there's discernment that we must have. But how can we have this discernment? How can we achieve or or how can we have this discernment in our lives? Well, St. John tells us. So first, he says in 1 John, no man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his own spirit. He has given us his own spirit. And this is how we know, as John says, that we abide in him and he abides in us. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And then finally he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Now there's a lot here, and there's a lot in the subsequent verses in 1 John. But let me just go through a few of these. First, no man has ever seen God. Let me just say, these are beautiful and powerful verses that John has written. They have so much meaning and guidance if we really take some time to understand them and to listen to them and to apply them in our lives. No man has ever seen God. We talk about this when we say about icons, that you don't see in icons God the Father. Now, there was a time in the history of the last couple hundred years that some iconographers put God the Father in the icon. In fact, we have that in our icon in the chapel. This is incorrect, because no man has seen God the Father. And we know from Moses' account the same thing. But in an attempt to try to express this, the iconographer took liberties and did this. But the correct icon of the Holy Trinity that you know we have is the philoxenia ton Abraham, the hospitality of Abraham. Now, we have seen God in his Son, Jesus Christ. He became incarnate. He became one of us. He became flesh, but not the Father. But Jesus tells us that through him, the Father is made known to us. It's through Jesus that we know the Father. So first, do we want to know God? Not just know about him, but do we want to know God? Do we want to abide in him and he abide in us? Our Lord tells us it's through him, Jesus Christ, that we know God the Father. Second, he says, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. How do we experience God? We know him by knowing his Son. But how do we experience him? We experience him by loving one another. It's simple to understand, much more difficult to apply, to love one another. If God is love, then when we love one another, we experience God. We know God the Father through our expressions of love. When we come to know God through love, we can also come to know even greater his Son, Jesus Christ. Because we understand this is the gospel reading from a few weeks ago, we understand the motive that God has for love, for his creation. The motive that God had, love, which caused him to send his son as the savior of the world. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Third, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So if love and God are synonymous, if they're the same, then the one who is filled with love is filled with God. And the one who is filled with God manifests God through their love, through their expression of love, through our expression of love for each other. God and love. This is what John speaks about throughout his gospel and throughout his epistles. Now, one can love, as we know the definitions of love, and not believe in God. But one cannot love God without loving others. So we can love and not believe in God, but we can't love God without loving one another. And as we read in 1 John 4:20, and this is the verse that comes after the conclusion of the epistle reading today. We heard this in the Vespers last night. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother or his sister or his fellow human, he is a liar. For he who does not love his fellow human being, his brother or his sister, whom he has seen right in front of him, cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is very clear. There's no ambiguity here. There's no confusion. There's no sometimes, maybe. There's no qualifications. Well, he or she did this to me. They said this about me. They did this I didn't like. There's none of that. It's very clear. Four, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. Love and fear cannot coexist. Wherever there is fear, there cannot be love. And wherever there is love, there cannot be fear. This is what John's saying. This is what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. This is what we should live by, regardless of the exterior, regardless of the things that are happening around us. Healthy relationships are based on love. Dysfunctional relationships are based on fear. Healthy relationships are based on love. Dysfunctional relationships are based on fear. Because when you're afraid of someone or something, you cannot have a healthy relationship with them. You can't discern. You can't think about what's happening or this relationship, because fear blocks that. And that is because the relationship is based more on fear than on love. Creating environments and relationships where it is safe to be honest, this is a right relationship. Fear does not allow one to feel safe. And if one does not feel safe, he or she won't be honest. And if there is no honesty, there is no trust. There is no love. There's nothing. There's nothing else if there's no honesty and no truth. And fear blocks that, impedes that. It comes between that right relationship. And I know we all know this. We all need to work towards healthy relationships that are based on love and not fear. And so as John explains, if someone says they love God but hate their brother or sister, they are a liar and a deceiver. The person who says they love God with their lips speaks this, but demonstrates the opposite, demonstrates hatred or indifference toward another, and their attitude of their heart is not being truthful. And so John says in this verse, the fruitless vanity of professing to love the Lord when there is hatred in their heart. The more we become, as followers of Christ, conformed in His image and in His likeness through our participation in prayer and worship, in the sacraments, especially abiding in Him and Him abiding in us in the Eucharist. The more we do this, the more and greater and stronger and deeper will His love be in us, and will our love be for our brother and our sister. So John wraps all this up, at least in the verses that we heard yesterday and today. And he says, through the power of the indwelling, or the essence of what he's saying is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, we are to love in spirit and in truth, in word and in deed, in motive and in mind. And then the final point, we love because He first loved us. This is another motivation to love. We love because first Christ loved us. And He showed us this love by His sacrifice on the cross. If He can die for us, we certainly can show lesser forms of love for others around us. Because no one's asking us to die today. But showing respect, promoting safety, even sacrificing something, these are the things that are reasonable for each and every one of us to do. So God is love, and the more we learn about love, the more we learn about God, the more we know God. The more we express love for others, the more we will express love for God. And the more we love God, the more we will be committed to loving others. Love God. Love your neighbor. Receive, partake in the body and blood of Christ so that you can be, as St. John says, cleansed of all sin. This is the summary of the Christian life for us as followers of Christ. And this is how we should respond to the call of Christ in our lives. Amen.